It is certainly good to see everyone here this morning. As Brother Stephen's already mentioned, it's always good to have visitors with us, and we want you to know that you are our honored guest, and we would love for you to come back every opportunity that you have to be with us. We certainly enjoyed our evening yesterday at the parks and with the youth, being able to enjoy some fellowship, to enjoy playing some games, and I know some of us probably got a little hurt along the way. I've been dealing with an aggravated foot for a couple of weeks, and I guess I re-aggravated it running in the sand, or I guess I should say crawling in the sand. I felt like I crawled more than I ran, but I know it'll get better. Dr. Ashley told me last night before I went home that if I would put my foot in a boot, it would stretch that tendon and help it. So last night I slept with my boots on, and when I got up this morning, I couldn't even walk. And so, but no, I'm just kidding. I didn't sleep with my boots on last night. I knew better than that. But we certainly enjoyed our time together yesterday. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. As you're turning over to Psalm 16, I have entitled Psalm 16 as Our All-Sufficient God. As you begin looking at this psalm, we're not going to spend our whole time looking at every verse, but I want you to see the flow of this beautiful psalm as it talks about our all-sufficient God. And I want to note verse 1 for your consideration, where David says, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust." And as you begin to look at the following verses, you're going to see why David put his trust in God. As you go through Psalm 16, we see that David trusted God because in verses 1 through 2, we see that God is the source of all blessings. In verses 3 and 4, we see that God is the object of worship. In verses 5 through 6, we see that God is the one who has given us an inheritance. And then in verses 7 through 8, we see that David put his trust in God because God was his teacher. In verses 9 and 10, we learn that God is the source of joy. And then in verse 11, we see that David put his trust in God because God is the source of salvation. I would say that those are still good reasons for why we should put our trust in God. But I want us to focus in on verse number 11, where David says in verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is the fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." This particular verse reminds us that in the presence of God, there is the fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there is true joy and happiness. You see, apart from God, there is no joy. Apart from God, there is no happiness. You see, there is joy in knowing that God is not a God that is afar off. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 23. There is joy in knowing that God is not far from every one of us, as Paul would declare from Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, verse number 26. I want you to mark your spot there in Psalm 16, and I want you to look at another verse, if you would, in the book of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 8, and as we look at all of these passages, we see that these passages remind us of the nearness of God. And we should delight in these passages that remind us of the nearness of God, of God's presence. And you'll see the same thing here in Nehemiah chapter 8. Well, here in Nehemiah chapter 8, we see that the book of the law was opened before the people of God, and the book was read before God's people. We see in verse number 10 of Nehemiah chapter 8, "Then he said unto them, as the word was being read before them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord." Now watch this. "Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." God's presence not only brings us joy and happiness, but from Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10, God's presence also gives us strength. Now I'm sure we would all agree that there are times when we do not feel as close to God as we would like. And there are numerous things that we encounter in this life that make us feel like that. But what can we do about that? What can we do during those times where we don't feel as close to God as we would like? What can we do to become close to Him again? Well, the answer is found in this particular psalm. Go back, if you would, to Psalm chapter 16, and let's read verse 8. Again, the answer is found earlier in verse 8, where David says in verse 8, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." Again, in verse 11, David said that God's presence brings him joy. You see, that's the conclusion that David came to in verse number 11. Again, God's presence brings me joy. The reason, verse number 8. The reason God's presence brought him joy is because David set the Lord before him. You see, when we set the Lord before us, we receive the blessings of God's presence. We receive joy and happiness. We receive strength from God. Look at verse 8 very carefully. We also receive courage from God's presence. When we set the Lord before us, we receive encouragement. You see, it's in those times of despair that we need courage. And we can find that courage with God's presence. Really, courage is a natural consequence of knowing that God is near to us. That's what we're emphasizing. The God that we're worshiping this morning, He's not a God that is far away from us. He's a God that is near to His people, to His children. And so again, His presence brings us joy. His presence brings us strength. His presence brings us courage. And that's what God has promised His children. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, the Lord says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you, that ye may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." You know, there were times where Paul felt alone. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 16, Paul says, "All men forsook me, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me." And so we can see from our study so far that God's presence, it strengthens us. God's presence encourages us. And God's presence brings us joy and happiness. With the remainder of our time this morning, let me suggest to you some ways in which we can set the Lord before us, as we see here in Psalm 16, verse number 8, so that we can experience this strength, this courage, this joy and happiness that we're talking about. Anytime you find yourself drifting away from the Lord, anytime you find yourself struggling in your faith, this is the time in which you need to draw closer to God. And a good place to start is this. Set the Lord before you, number one, through God's creation. Allow God's creation to help you draw closer to God. Last night we had the awesome privilege of being able to sing songs of praise to our God. And wasn't it wonderful yesterday evening to feel the cool breeze, to see the green trees, to see the beautiful scenery that God created? Again, we can set the Lord before us through His awesome creation. Listen to what David said, and you can turn over to Psalm 19. But listen to what David said in Psalm 19, beginning at verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth us His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You see, God's creation tells of His glory. It tells of His knowledge. And then turn over to Romans chapter 1, verse number 20, where Paul says, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that even His eternal power and Godhead is made known. So man has no excuse not to know God. You see, God's creation also impresses us with God's eternal power, God's eternal glory. God's creation impresses us with His deity. God is God. He is powerful. He is awesome. And when we look at God's creation, we can set the Lord before us through His creation. His creation can help us draw near to Him. Let me show you three examples where creation helped individuals draw closer to the God of heaven. Let's start here in the book of Psalms. Turn over to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. Let's begin reading at verse number 3. Listen to what David says in Psalm 8, beginning at verse number 3. David says, when I consider the heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him? For Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. You see, David took time to contemplate God's creation. And when he looked at everything that God created, himself included, he saw God's glory. He saw God's power. He saw God's greatness. He saw God's goodness. You can only imagine the nights that David spent as a shepherd, looking up into the heavens, looking at the stars, looking at the moon, all of these things that God created. And you see, this understanding helped David draw nearer to God. And that's what we're saying about God's creation. We can set the Lord before us through God's creation. And when we contemplate God's creation, when we stop and look at God's handiwork, what can we say but how great Thou art? What can we do but draw nearer and nearer to Him. Look at a second example, if you would, in the book of Acts. Turn over to Acts chapter 14. We're just looking at examples of how creation helped people draw near to God. The second example is found in Acts chapter 14. In Acts chapter 14, you'll notice in verses 7 through 20 that Paul came into the city of Lystra. And remember, he healed a man who was crippled from his mother's womb in verse number 8. And when those of Lycaonia saw what Paul did in verse number 11, they said that the gods came down to us in the likeness of men. Now watch verse 12. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was of the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought an oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out, saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their ways." Do you see what Paul is doing here in Acts chapter 14? Paul is pointing them to the Creator, which naturally pointed them to the awesome power of God. Paul again looked at God's creation. Paul pointed to God's creation, how God created these things. And again, that naturally pointed them to the Creator. Again, we can see another example of how creation helped people draw near to God. Let me give you another example in the book of Acts. Turn over, if you would, to Acts chapter 17. Here in Acts chapter 17, Paul preaches on Mars Hill. He reveals the true and living God. And listen to what he says in verse number 24. This is what Paul preached to them. He preached about the true and living God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temple made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life, breath, and all things. Look at verse number 27. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Again, we learn through God's creation that God is powerful and awesome. And we learn in this context that God that created this world is mindful of us. And the God of this creation encourages us to draw near to Him. And that should make us happy. Listen, as you go through this life and if you find yourself being distracted from the spiritual, allow the beauty of God's creation to help you refocus. Allow the beauty of God's creation to remind you that we serve a powerful and awesome God. Listen to these verses. In Genesis chapter 24, verse number 63, I love this. Isaac went out into the field in the evening to meditate. He went out into the field in the evening to meditate. Do you realize how that can help us in our spiritual life? Perhaps when we find ourselves being distracted with the affairs of this life, I realize that there are so many things going on in this life. We're busy doing this, we're busy doing that, when we need to learn to slow down and to reflect upon our spiritual life, when we need to reflect upon our awesome and powerful God, when we need to take time to meditate upon God, to mull over those spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Again, Isaac, in the evening, he went out into the field to meditate. Matthew 14, verse 23, Jesus went up into the mountains to pray. Listen, you can pray anywhere, but there were times that Jesus went into the mountains. I'm convinced that He went into the mountains to get away from everybody else, to have some quiet time, if you please, where He would be able to pray to His Heavenly Father. You see, it might be easier for all of us to draw closer to God in the midst of creation. And as I said last night, as we think about that beautiful setting, for me, it was easier to draw nearer to God as I was looking at God's beautiful creation. Again, allow the beauty of God's creation to slow you down and to be in the right frame of mind as you draw near to God. Again, set the Lord before you through God's creation. Number two, set the Lord before you through God's revelation. Go back, if you would, to Psalm chapter 16. Remember what David said in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That means that David depended upon what God's Word revealed to him. Go, if you would, to Psalm 119. And notice a couple verses from Psalm 119. And Psalm 119, verse number 92, and also verse number 93, David said, unless Thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my affliction. He says in verse number 93, I will never forget Thy precepts, for with them Thou hast quickened me. Thou hast made me alive. Do you see what David is saying in these verses? If it wasn't for God's Word, I wouldn't have made it. There were times where David was hurting. There were times where David was struggling. There were even times where David was afraid, when he was running for his life, but he remembered what God said. He remembered the promises of God. Again, going back to Psalm chapter 16, verse 8, David said, God is at my right hand, and I should not be moved. Or perhaps you're thinking of Psalm 23, verse 4, where David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff comfort me. But listen to this. David wouldn't have known that if it wasn't for God's Word. David wouldn't have known that if God didn't reveal that to him. But he knew that, and he trusted in that. He knew that God was at his right hand, and that's what brought him joy. But that's what the God of heaven revealed to him. And that's why David would also say in Psalm 119, verse 54, Thy statutes have been my songs. I love that verse. We're always listening to music. Let me encourage you to listen to God's Word more and more like David. Allow God's Word to become your songs. Learn to meditate upon God's Word, because God's Word can help us as we go through this life. Like David, when we find ourselves struggling, battling through life, we need to set the Lord before us, not only through creation. Oh, creation can help us be in the right frame of mind. It reminds us that God is mighty and powerful, but God's creation can only do so much. If the Lord is going to be at our right hand like He was in David's life, we need to come to know God. We need to come and have a relationship with God. And the only way that we come to know God is through His revelation. We come to know God by obeying God's Word. That is the only way that God can be at our right hand. Listen to the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse number 3. The Apostle John says, "Hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, 'I know Him,' and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His Word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him." Again, we come to know God by obeying His Word. And when we obey His Word, He makes His abode with us. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, verse number 23. "If any man love Me, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him. And we will come in unto him and make our abode with him." You see, when God makes His abode with us, we can be confident that God is at our right hand. Again, and His presence, knowing that God is at our right hand, His presence, remember, can strengthen us. His presence can encourage us. His presence can make us happy. It can make us joyful in this life. And again, like David, we wouldn't know that if it wasn't for God's Word. Let me encourage you again to set the Lord before you, not only through God's creation, but let me encourage you to set the Lord before you through God's divine revelation. Know God's Word. Learn God's Word. Like Isaac, go out into the fields at night and meditate upon God's Word. You see, that's how the book of Psalms begins. "Blessed is the man that meditates upon the Word of God day and night." And when we learn what the Word of God can do for us, and as I look at this audience, I realize most of us in here understand and know the power of God's Word. You've already experienced the power of God's Word in your life when you obeyed the gospel, when you became a Christian. But you can continue to experience the power of God's Word working in your life as you meditate upon it, as you learn it, as you obey it. Listen, we don't want to be hearers of God's Word only. We want to be doers of God's Word, according to James 1, verse 22. That's how the power of God's Word works in our lives, when we make application of what God has revealed through His Word. James 4, verse 8 teaches us that when we draw near to God, He draws near to us. And the beauty of that is that that never stops. When we turn to God's Word, when we learn God's Word, when we make application of God's Word, when we set the Lord before us through God's revelation, we draw nearer and nearer and nearer to our God. And then number three, a third way that we can set the Lord before us is through prayer. You see, friends, we are as close to God as we have chosen to be. I want you to think about that point. We are as close to God as we have chosen to be. As we've already said this morning, God's revealed Himself to us. God's revealed Himself to us through His creation, but also through His revelation. We must reveal ourselves to Him. We reveal ourselves to Him when we obey Him, when we are His obedient children, as we see in 1 Peter 1, verse 13 down through verse 16. But we continue to reveal ourselves to Him when we come to Him in prayer. We must reveal ourselves to Him in prayer. We must pour out our hearts to Him in prayer. You see, prayer is the means by which we express our cares and concerns. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the Apostle Peter says, "You cast your care upon God because He cares for you." That's how we cast our care upon God. We come to Him in prayer. And what a spiritual blessing that we have in Christ Jesus to be able to approach the throne of God's grace and mercy according to Hebrews 4, verse 16, in prayer. There are times where we need God's grace, His mercy. We need God's help as we go through this life. And God has given us this awesome means to be able to cry out to our God, to express our fears, to express our concerns, to express our need for His help. You know, one of the greatest verses that you will find in God's Word is found in Psalm 46, verse 1. Where David says, "The Lord is our strength and refuge, a very present help in time of trouble." The Hebrew carries the idea that God stands ready to help you. He's eager to help you. He's just waiting for you. He's just waiting for me to draw to Him, to draw near to Him. He's just waiting for me to cry out to Him. He's promised that He would be there. He's promised that He would hear the prayers of the righteous, 1 Peter 3, verse number 12. And so I want to encourage you again to set the Lord before you through God's creation, through God's revelation, and through prayer. The affectional, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James 5, verse number 16. Think about this verse as we're beginning to wrap up our lesson. And this is why prayer is so important. As you think about what prayer is for the child of God, I've always described it like this. Prayer is a sign of dependency upon God. If you are a self-dependent person, you won't be praying to God. You're going to be doing everything on your own. You will never ask God for help. But when you learn to depend upon God, it will be obvious in your life because you're going to take time every day to pray. And let me show you why this is such a serious problem. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, Solomon says, "Anxiety in the heart causes depression." Anxiety of the heart causes depression. You know, as we look in our world today, there are so many in the world that are suffering because of depression. I remember growing up as a young person, as I was watching TV, different episodes, you never saw any commercial dealing with depression. As you watch TV programs now, there's commercial after commercial after commercial dealing with depression. And the world is encouraging people to take medications that help with anxiety. And please don't misunderstand me. I realize that there are cases where people are bipolar and perhaps they need that medical attention. But that's not the norm of society. When we turn back to God's Word, we see what the problem is. Anxiety of the heart causes depression. Why are there so many people in the world that are depressed? It's because of worry. It's because of anxiety. But as a child of God, we don't worry. We don't get caught up and anxiety. You remember Philippians 4, verse 6? Paul says, listen to it, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Instead of worrying about everything in this life, we ought to start praying about everything. We ought to bring our cares and concern before the throne of God. Cast them at His feet. Because if we don't bring Him our cares and our concerns, I believe Solomon is telling us that anxiety of heart will cause depression. And I've seen people who are depressed. And I know you have probably seen people that are depressed. And we know what the answer is. The answer for those individuals is God. The answer for those individuals is for them to set the Lord before them. To learn who God is, and we can learn who God is by looking at God's creation. And when we look at God's creation, we would all conclude that we serve a great, awesome, mighty, powerful God. And when we look at God's creation, we see that He created us. We've been created in the image of God. He is so good and He is so kind to us. He cares for us. He loves us. And He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to come to know Him. That's why He's given us His Word. Think of God's Word as a roadmap that will lead you to Him. All He says is, you follow My Word. The truth has been given to you. And the truth will set you free, John 8, verse 32. So you come to know Him through obeying His Word. And as you continue to live out the Christian life, we learn to depend upon God for everything. And again, that will be seen in our life as we devote ourselves to Him more and more as we learn about His Word and as we come to Him in prayer. What an awesome privilege we all have to set the Lord before us. This morning, let me encourage you to set the Lord before you. If you're not a child of God, you can set the Lord before you by obeying the gospel, by becoming a New Testament Christian, by hearing God's Word, uniting it with faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, being baptized for the remission of your sins. Your sins will be washed away. The Lord will add you to His church. You'll become a part of the family of God. And so if you never obeyed the gospel, I want to encourage you this morning to set the Lord before you by first obeying the gospel. If you are a child of God, let me encourage you to continue to set the Lord before you as you think about how awesome God is by reminding yourself and looking at God's creation. By always and constantly turning to His Word, growing in knowledge, and by coming to Him in prayer. If there's anything that we can do this morning to help you set the Lord before you like David, we ask that you come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.